Okay, today we're learning Me'ila Daf Kaf. We're going to start at the Mishnah at the bottom of Yutet Amud Bet. Natal Evan O Korah Shel Hekdesh. Okay, the Mishnah, if you take a rock or a stone or a beam from Hekdesh, Harei Zeh Lo Ma'al. Just the taking of it doesn't consider Me'ila. We're going to learn today, we're going to discuss what's called Me'ila Av Hotza'ah. Means when you take it and you take it out of the Rishut of Hekdesh. Just by you taking it yourself, we're going to see that the Gemara doesn't exactly understand this Kipshuto. We'll see. But sounds, according to the Pshat, just by taking it doesn't mean anything until either you give it to somebody else or you use it yourself. But just taking it doesn't mean anything. So Natal Evan Okorah Shel Hekdesh Harei Zeh Lo Ma'al. But Nitana L'Chaveiro, as soon as you give it to somebody else, Hu Ma'al V'Chaveiro Lo Ma'al. Okay? Then, when you give it to your friend, what happens? If you take that item of Hekdesh, you give it to somebody else, so you turned it into Chulin, so you're Chayav in Me'ila for taking Hekdesh and using it for Chulin, but the person who you gave it to isn't Moel anymore, because that's what we learned. It's no longer Hekdesh. Here's another example. Let's say you take it, and instead of giving it to somebody else, what'd you do with it? Bina'a b'toch beto. Okay, they might think as soon as you use it to build in your house, so you should be Moel, that's using it. But the Mishnah is going to say, and again, the Gemara is going to have trouble understanding this, Hareze lo ma'al ad shidor tachteh b'shavet pruta. You're not chayav in Me'ila until you actually live in the house. Building it in the house isn't actually Me'ila, okay, which sounds strange, because didn't we say Me'ila is shinoi, and here you clearly changed it. So again, what the pshat of the Mishnah is, I don't really know. The Gemara is going to explain it in some way that's not kipshuta. But you have to actually live under there and benefit from use of the house and the value of a shava pruta. Natal pruta shel hekdesh. If you take a coin, so now we're going to have the exact parallel case. Instead of taking a stone or a beam, you now took money. So natal pruta shel hekdesh harei zeh lo ma'al. So by just holding it in your hand, that's not considered me'ila. Nitana l'chaveiro, but if you give it to somebody else, Hu ma'al v'chaveiro lo ma'al. Same thing. You're chayav me'ila because you turned it into hekdesh by giving it to your friend. But your friend who now uses the money, right? I give it to you. You use it. Well, you're not chayav because it's already chulin. Nitana l'balan. If you brought it to a balan, like a balani, the person who works in the, right there, it's the mikveh. Here it's the Beit HaMerchat, the bathhouse. If you give it to the attendant at the bathhouse, af al pi shelo rachatz ma'al. As soon as you pay the money, then you're already chayav in Me'ila. Why? Shehu omer lo, harei amrchatz patuach lefanecha, hikanesu rechotz. It's basically like he said to him, you know, once you pay, well, this is all yours, you can use it at whatever you want. And the explanation is given here is that it's basically like he's renting use of the bathhouse. And when it comes to renting, as soon as renting is nikne b'kesef, like your zchuyot of renting something, as soon as you give the money, remember we learned all these kinyanim of what generally kesef isn't konan, a lot of things, but there's certain things it is, and renting is just like buying land is also b'kesef. So renting is b'kesef, and therefore, as soon as you give the money, the balan can't change his mind and say, oh, I changed my mind, I'm not letting you in today. So because of that, you gained the rights at that moment, and therefore, you're chayav me'ila. Okay, now, that's the end of that section of the Mishnah. The next section of the Mishnah is exactly what we learned in the Braita yesterday. Achila, you're going to say, oh, didn't we learn this already? But yesterday was just quoted in a Braita by the Gemara. Now we're going to see it in the Mishnah. Achila tov, achilat chavero. Hanaya tov, hanayat chavero. Achila tov, hanayat chavero. And hanaya tov, achilat chavero. Mitzdarfim zeim zev afilu lizman meruba. That means if I take me'ila and then I use it, and my friend, and you know, I give some of it, I use half a pruta of it, and I eat half a pruta, let's say, and I give half a pruta to my friend to eat, or I benefit half a pruta, and I give my friend to benefit half a pruta, or it's I eat and he benefits, or I benefit and she eats, okay? All different options. They're mitzdarfim zeim zeim, even over the period of a long time. So if I take some item, and then I use it a little bit, but not enough of a whole pruta, and then a few days later, I give it to a friend to use, or I use it later, all of that will join together. Okay, back to the Mishnah now. The Gemara is going to start questioning. Maishnahu, maishna chaveiro. In the beginning, Natal Evano Korah Shel Hektesh Harezelo Ma'al, and then we have, well, but if he gives it to his friend, he's Moel, but if he uses it himself, right, if he takes it for himself without using it, he's not Moel. So why? What's the difference? Theoretically, right, if I take something, so it now, by me taking it into my reshut, it's like giving it to somebody else. What's the difference? It's also Hotza'ah. I'm Motzi'it for my own sake. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says the Mishnah must be in a unique case. It must be the treasurer of the Mikdash is the person that we're talking about. So if the treasurer, now it's really crazy because now we're saying the Mishnah is only referring to a case of a treasurer taking an item, okay, where the person who, now what's the issue? I was thinking this is interesting, anyone who has like an amutar or something, right? You work somewhere. You have rights to all the stuff, sort of. It's all yours, sort of, but it's not really yours. So if when he's using it, even if it's in his own reshut, he has rights. The treasurer of the Mikdash has rights to access everything. So therefore, just by him picking it up, even if he's thinking to use it for his own sake, the stuff is already ki'ilu in his reshut. He's not really changing reshuyo because he has rights to access everything. So therefore, it's only either once he benefits from it, and it's obviously once he starts to benefit from it, then he's chayav me'ilah, or if he gives it to somebody else. Okay? Now, it's interesting because why is this different? Okay, let's give a comparable example. If I give you something to watch, okay, you're my shomeret, you watch my item, and then you decide to keep it for yourself. So when are you chayav? When you obligated for that? As soon as you decide that you're keeping it for yourself. That's called sholech yad b'pikadon, shlichut yad. Okay, by deciding that you want to keep it for yourself. Now here, deciding that the gizbar wants to keep it for himself isn't shlichut yad. What's the main difference between the two, though? When it comes to the shomer deciding they're going to keep it for themselves, that's intentional. If you remember, me'ila is all shogeg. So the gizbar maybe forgets at that moment, right? You could see why one might forget also, because since he has rights to all this stuff and it's mixed up with things maybe even in his house, you know, or maybe he lives in the mikdash or something, you know, you could see why he might get confused. And there, since it's just shkaga, so because of that, therefore it's not the same as din of shlichu yad. Shlichu yad is, he has intent. Okay. Now we get back to the b'na'a b'toch beto, eino chayav, until he lives underneath the house. Lamali ad shidor tachteha, kevan deshanye ma'al. There goes our question, right? Is since he already put it in, now the assumption is when you put a stone in the house, first of all, you smooth it out, you shape it, and then you kind of stick it in, right? That's a whole... Right, there's two acts going on. Number one, changing the rock itself. And number two, kind of cementing it into the wall. So Amar Rav, kigon shinicha piaruba. Rav says the Mishnah must be a case where he just stuck it on top of like a chimney. Yeah, there was an open space and he wanted to close the space and he just stuck the rock in. He didn't chisel it. He didn't glue it, you know, cement it in. He just kind of stuck it there. Okay. So now, they say, fine. So according to Rav's explanation of the Mishnah, how does this work? Well, if you just put it in, but don't actually build it into the house, you're not chayav me'ilah until you actually benefit from the house. But, kevan debanele miha ma'al. But if you did actually build it in the house, you'd be chayav me'ilah. If that's the assumption from this Mishnah, then we could say that our Mishnah supports the following halacha. Okay, we'll say it in a minute. Before I get there, I just want to point out one thing. If you say that by building it in the house, you're chayav me'ilah, what does that show? Well, that rock was not attached to the ground, right? But the house is attached to the ground. Now, if you remember, what did we learn? Anything that's mechubar lakarka, I think it was two dapim ago, anything that's attached to the ground, you're not chayav me'ilah, because we learned it from Truma. So if that's the case, you're going to now say you're getting me'ilah, you're chayav me'ilah for the house. Why are you chayav me'ilah for the house? Well, the house has a rock, a stone that you put in the house, but the stone was originally detached, and now it's attached. This is what we call talush, ulevasof chibro. It was detached, but now it's attached. We're going to treat that as talush, okay? So that's what it sounds like the assumption is from this, that once you build it in the house, and now it's attached to the ground, but since it was detached from the beginning, so we'll treat it as if it's detached and you're chayav me'ilah, because otherwise we'd say you're not chayav me'ilah because you're talking about a house and a house is attached to the ground. So that must support this halacha of Rav in a totally different context. Rav says, okay, lema maseya le'lerav, we should say that this would support Rav, that what? Da'amar Rav, ha'mishtachaveh labayit asaro. If you bow down to a house, you're chayav. If you remember, the pasuk in Dvarim said, okay, if you remember back to Avodah Zarah, abei tov dun, you're supposed to get rid of all the places where they worship. It says where they worship their gods, al heharim, right, on the mountains. So what are they darshan from that? You remember this drasha? Al haharim velo Elohim haharim. It's their gods are on the mountains, they worship them on the mountains, but the mountains are not gods, which means that if you say that something that's attached to the ground is Avodah Zarah, it's not really Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is something that's detached from the ground. Same thing. Exact same thing. Right? Just like Me'ilah can't be something attached to the ground, also this. That's why they're going to say, well, if our Mishnah says, if it was Talush, Ulevasov Chibro, we're going to treat that as Talush, that would support Rav's statement that what? Hamishtachaveh labayit asaro. If you bow down to a house, you can turn that house into an item of Avodah Zarah. Why? Because the house is made up of all sorts of pieces that were detached from the ground originally, and then you built them into a house. So therefore, the house is not considered like a mountain. Okay? It's not, even though it's mechubar lakarka now, since the raw materials were not attached to the ground originally. So it sounds like we're saying the same thing as Rav, which means that our Mishnah, according to this interpretation, should support what Rav said about hamishtachaveh labayit asaro. But we're going to have some issues with this. Amrav acha beret Rav Ika, hanir'eit lahinayim asra Torah. Okay, so now Rav acha beret Rav Ika comes and says, no, it's a different issue when it comes to Avodah Zarah, and when it comes to Avodah Zarah, that's classic, okay? That's the regular case. But when it comes to Mi'ilah is a din. Okay, now I'm going to preface this by saying, it's quite complicated how exactly to explain this line. There's a bunch of different ways to understand it. It's not so clear to anyone. But I'll try to explain it in one way, which is the reason why in Me'ilah, your chayav, in this case, we're going to treat talush ulevasof chibro as talush, even though in Avodah Zarah we're going to treat it as mechubar, is because when it comes to this, there's a special thing that you need, that for Me'ilah to be Me'ilah, it's hana'a that one can see. And since building this rock into the house is something that's noticeable, that there's a, you know, either it's noticeable to the people on the outside who can see a rock put in the house, or it's noticeable from the inside because now you are living in a house that's totally covered and not, you know, having a big gap in the middle. So therefore, and that's why in this case, since you're benefiting from that stone that was put in, so we're going to say it's a din of Me'ilah, but it's a unique halacha by Me'ilah and it doesn't apply across the board, and therefore our Mishnah can't support Rav's understanding. So basically we rejected our Mishnah as supporting Rav. Amar Rish Lakish, I skipped something. So now they say, maybe there's a different source that can support Rav. Okay, we don't want to give up on this line of Rav about bowing down to a house. So they say, Lema Maseyele, let's bring the following brayta. Hadar babayat shel hekdesh. If you live in a bayit that's hekdesh, that someone sanctified, kevan shenehenemi mena ma'al. Right? As soon as you benefit from it, you're chayav in me'ilah. Okay? If the house was designated as hekdesh and someone benefits from that house, they're chayav in me'ilah. Well, that sounds exactly the same as someone who bows down to a house. And as a house is treated, here we're not talking about a rock put in, we're talking about the house is hekdesh. So here it sounds like a house, since its raw materials were talush originally, therefore we consider it talush, just like Rav said there. But not so simple either, because Amar Rish Lakish, well, there's two types of bayit of hekdesh. How could a house be hekdesh? Either somebody said, I'm sanctifying this house once it's already built, or before it's built, they sanctify the raw materials, and then they build them into the house. So that's a different story. So Rish Lakish says, Hatam, that bright is talking about Bishahikdisho Ulevasof Bana'o. That's talking about when the raw materials were all sanctified and then you built a house out of sanctified raw materials. Then, of course, we're going to say you're chayav in me'ilah. But if the house was built first and then someone sanctified it, well, then we're going to treat the house as mechubar. Just because its raw materials are happened to have been talush originally, we don't necessarily say talush levasof chibro is considered talush. Okay? Now, if you go with that, then you can't prove anything about someone who bows down to a house. Because again, they didn't bow down to the separate stones and then built the house out of those stones. They bow down to the house that was already built. So the question is Rish Lakish's answer going to stand or not? So Rish Lakish is saying, this brayta, it's interesting that they're trying to knock out all the proofs of Rav, okay? They're basically trying to say, don't prove it from here, don't prove it from there. I don't know if they really disagree with Rav in general, or they're just saying, well, you can't use this as a proof. So Rish Lakish basically says, you could say that brayta is talking about Hikdishol Levasof Pano. So now they say, could it really be that that's what that brayta is talking about? Because they're going to say like this. So if you say the brayta is talking about Hikdishol Levasof Pano, then what would you assume? Aval Bina'o Levasof Hikdishol, if you built the house, and then someone sanctified it, my lo ma'al, then you wouldn't be chayav and me'ila? If that's the case, it doesn't make sense that the brayta, okay, if you look at the brayta in its entirety, which we didn't see yet, but we're going to see in a minute, my iria rahat vitane. So if the case, assuming we're right, that he, according to Rish Lakish, hikdisho levasof b'na'o is me'ila, and he b'na'o, and then you were makdish, is not me'ila, then the brayta doesn't make sense. Why? Because my iria rahat vitane, why did the brayta immediately after come and say, Hadar b'bayit shel ma'aral lo ma'al. Okay, I'm going to read you the whole brayta now from the beginning. If you're dar in a bayit of hekdesh, as soon as you benefit from that house, you're chayav me'ila. But if you live in a cave, your house is built out of a cave, which obviously the raw materials there were never detached from the ground. You live in a cave, lo ma'al, right? If somebody sanctified a cave, you wouldn't be chayav me'ila if you lived in there. So now, what are they going to say? If really there was this distinction between hikdisho levasof b'na'o and b'na'o levasof hikdisho, the brayta should have said that instead of comparing a house to a cave, it should have compared a house to a house. A house that was built in this way and a house that was built in that way. So therefore they say the fact that it right vitani hadar b'bayit shel ma'aral lo ma'al, lema, it should have said hadar b'bayit shel avanim shebna'o levasof hikdisho lo ma'al. And therefore Rish Lakish, your explanation makes no sense because the brayta should have set it up that way. In which case, what are we left with? Back to saying, this brayta could support Rav. In fact, there's a difference between a house and a cave because a house is made up of other raw materials. Tlasho ulevasof b'na'o, right? Ulevasof chibro would be considered talush, just like Rav said about the avodah zarah. But now the Gemara says, no. Really, Rish Lakish could be right. And really, the brayta wanted to give a case of ma'ara specifically. Why ma'ara and not b'na'o ulevasof hikdisho? Why not? Because ha psikale, ha lo psikale. We've seen this answer a few times. Sometimes they like to go with simple, easy cases where it's clear cut, right? Psako means it's very clear cut. It's very clear cut, house versus ma'ara. This type house versus that type house is already, we're getting like into too many details. So therefore, the brayta kind of preferred to give a very clear distinction, house, cave. And that's why it said house cave, but it doesn't mean that within house you can distinguish between the two cases just because the brayta didn't mention it. In which case, maybe this brayta doesn't necessarily support Rav. And that's what we're left with. Hadron alach hane'aneh. We're finished with the fifth parak, moving on to the sixth parak. Now we're going to talk about the din of shlichut. We talked about this already. We're going to talk about it more now. If I send a shaliach and I sent him to do something and the shaliach uses hekdesh property, so, who's chayav me'ila? I'm chayav me'ila because I sent the shaliach to do something for me. So, even though we generally say ein shaliach lidvar avera, we don't say that here. Okay, possibly also it's shogeg, right? It's again, usually we say ein shaliach lidvar avera because the shaliach should be smart enough to know not to do an avera. Maybe here because it's shogeg, maybe it's different. It's unclear why it's different. They darshened it out from Truma, but it was a very strange drasha because they were learning it out not from an Avera done with Truma, but the fact that if you're Mafrish Truma, Al Yidei Shaliach, it works. So therefore, if you're Moel, it works, even though those are two very different things because one is doing sort of the right thing and one is doing the wrong thing. But anyway, now we're going to learn details about this Shlichut because while it's true that if the Shaliach does what I say, I'm going to be Chayav and Me'ila, but what if the Shaliach changes from what I told the Shaliach to do? Then it's going to be the shaliach's responsibility. So a shaliach she'asah shlichuto balabayit ma'am. So if he does his shlichu, well then the balabayit, the owner, is moel. But lo asa shlichuto, if the shaliach decides to do something different, hashaliach va'al, ketzad. Okay, amar lo, tem basar l'orchim. Okay, I tell someone to please give meat to my guests. V'natan lahem kaved, and instead he gives them liver. Okay, kaved v'natan lahem basar, or the reverse. He told them, give them liver, and the shaliach gave them meat. Hashaliach ma'al. So the shaliach is responsible then. If the meat happened to be hekdesh, or the kaved was hekdesh, right, and the shaliach gave it to the guests, so it's the shaliach's responsibility. Amar lo, tein lahem chaticha. I said, chaticha, chaticha. I said, give everybody a piece of meat. V'hu omer tzulu shtayim. And he tells them, everybody take two pieces. V'hem natlu shalosh. But they in the end took three pieces. This is a very complicated case. Kula ma'alu. The first piece, right, assuming all the meat was me'ila. So the first piece they all took was the balabayat's responsibility. The second piece was the shaliach. And the third piece was their own, because they didn't do what the shaliach said either. They had their own dad to do that. Okay, interesting case. Now, this is going to bring us back to a sugya we saw in Nedarim, if anybody remembers. So, man tana dekol milta de mimlachale shaliach tarte mili hafyan. Okay, we need to explain a few things in the sentence. What is mimlachale shaliach? Mimlachale shaliach is something, okay, this is classic. You send your kids or your husband to the store, and while they're in the store, right, they have a safek. Should they do something? Is this what you wanted them to buy? Or was this what you wanted them to buy? And they WhatsApp you and they say, you know, so they don't have exactly what you wanted, right? They don't have this type yogurt. They have that type yogurt. Is that okay? Or they don't have this meat. Can I give you fish instead? You know, different things. Now, so anything a shaliach would call you about and would say to you, I don't have this, but I have this. Okay, so if somebody asks you that, is that considered two types or not? Okay, does that mean if they call me from the store and say, listen, they don't have the Danone yogurts, they have the Yoplait yogurts. Does that mean that Danone and Yoplait are the same or different? Because if they're already calling, it's saying they don't think this is the same type. Now, this might depend on how crazy you are about being very specific about which type you exactly want, right? There's some people that don't really care, and there's some people that are very particular about things. And that's part of the debate here, okay? So what they're going to say is, our Mishnah assumes what? Now, we go back to the basar and kaved. You probably thought this when we were, like, liver is sort of meat. It's, right, it's not exactly, it's not like a piece of steak, but it is in the meat category. So obviously, the ton of our Mishnah holds that meat and kaved are not the same. But meat and kaved are the type of thing that a shaliach, if you said to shaliach to buy you liver and they don't have liver, the shaliach will probably come back to you and ask you, well, listen, they don't have liver, they have meat. Can I buy that instead? Okay, now, if it was a matter of Yoplait and Danone yogurt, probably the person would just buy it and they wouldn't even ask you because it's pretty obvious, right? So that shows Yoplait and Danone are considered the same type, but meat and liver are not the same type because you're going to ask about it. Okay?
And subjective?
Right. Obviously, this whole thing is very subjective. So where does this come up? So it comes up in Nedarim. If you remember, every time we talked about if you were nodir about something, what exactly were you including in that term? So this would be very relevant. So Amar Rav Chisda, who is the Tana who holds this? Dilo ke Rabbi Akiva. It's clearly not Rabbi Akiva, because look at what Rabbi Akiva says. Okay, and it's going to be the Tana Kama that disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Ditnan, it says in the Mishnah Nedarim, Hanoder min hayarak, if you say, I'm not going to have any vegetables, mutar b'diluin, you can have, right, how are they trying, it's gourds or,
pumpkins.
What? Pumpkins, right, it's from the pumpkin gourd family. Okay, you can have pumpkins. Okay, why? Because the assumption of the Tana Kama is that's something a shaliach would come and say. If you say, go get vegetables, think about it, right? Vegetables, you don't usually mean vegetables like pumpkin. You usually mean, you know, cucumbers, peppers, things like that. So if you say, go get vegetables, and they come back, they'll say, oh, but they only have squash. Do you want squash? Well, then, since that's something a shaliach would ask about, clearly it's two different types, and therefore Tana Kama says you can eat tluim. Okay, so that obviously matches the Tana of our Mishnah. It says basar and kaved are two different things. But Rabbi Akiva oser. Now, unfortunately, they don't bring you the whole dusiyah here, but it's very interesting. I'll read to you from what it says in the Gemara there. The Gemara there says, He says, so they say to Rabbi Akiva, "V'halo adam omer l'shlucho, kach li yerek, v'hu omer lo matzati ela d'luim." So what do you see here? That clearly there are two different things. Because otherwise, why would he ask? So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Akiva says, "Ken adavar, you're right, that d'luim is something they would ask about. Do you want squash instead? But oshema omeru lo matzati ela kitnit. But that's my proof. If they ask, well, you wanted vegetables, they don't have exactly what you wanted, but they have squash. That's because squash is a vegetable. But they're not going to ask you, do you want lentils? Lentils have nothing to do with, you know, maybe even you say more rachok, meat, right? You send for vegetables. The shalit doesn't come back and say, well, then they have vegetables, can I buy you meat instead? Right? So that proves, says Rabbi Akiva, that they're all the same type. Okay? So therefore, he disagrees, and therefore our Mishnah must not go like Rabbi Akiva, because our Mishnah thinks Kaveh and Basar are two different things. Otherwise, we would have said the Shaliach actually did what he wanted, and in which case we're going to say the Balabayit's Moel. So therefore, the fact that we say, no, the Shaliach didn't do his Shlichut, because he said meat, and the Shaliach gave them Kaveh, that shows that Basar and Kaveh are two different types, and Basar and Kaveh, obviously, it's obvious to the Gemara that that's something a Shaliach would say, well, they don't have meat, but they do have liver. Can I get you that instead? So now comes Abaye, and Abaye says, no, I disagree. Afilu tema Rabbi Akiva. I can even explain our Mishnah according to Rabbi Akiva. Mi lo bailin luche. So he says, even if you say that it's the same meat, okay, here we go back to the Yoplay and Danona maybe, right? Even if you say that it's really the same type, here the Shaliach was told, go serve the guests meat. And the Shaliach served the guests liver without checking with the Balabayit. So you could still say they're the same mean, but in the end, even if they're the same type, the Shaliach should have gone back and checked with the Balabayit before he served the guests. He should have done what the Balabayit said. This is all about, this isn't about, are they two different types? It's a matter of, did he do what the Balabayit said or not? And he clearly didn't do what the Balabayit said, because the Balabayit said, go give them meat, and he gave them liver. So it doesn't matter whether we call this one type or two types. Even if Rabbi Akiva would say this is all one type, still he didn't do what the Balabayit said, in which case, right, the Balabayit said liver, meat, and he gave them liver, and the liver was hekdesh. Well, that's his problem and not the Balabayit's problem. Okay, so therefore, and then ki amru rabbanan kameh de rava. Okay, we always see Rav and Abaye fighting. Here it's interesting, when the rabbis told the statement of Abaye, when Abaye said in front of Rava, Amar luhu shapir ka'amar Nachmani. He said, wow, Nachmani, that's Abaye was the son of Nachmani. And, right, they say, it was good what he, you know, what Nachmani said. Also, he was called that because he was adopted, if you remember, by his uncle, Rabba bar Nachmani, and they call him Nachmani. So anyway, he says that was, you know, good explanation. Now they want to know, man tana de palagale de Rabbi Akiva. This happens sometimes where we have an anonymous opinion, but they want to connect it to some name. So they say, who's actually this tana who disagrees with Rabbi Akiva and says this is all one mean? So Rashbag omer, who de tanya, I'm sorry, it says it's two separate meaning. Sorry, my confusion, right? The Tanakhama disagrees with Rabbi Akiva and says, right, if you say hanuder menayarek, you're allowed to eat tuluim because they're not the same thing. Rashbagi, they say it's Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel de Tanya, as it says in the following Braita, Hanodir min habasal asur b'chol minei basal, v'asur b'rosh u'b'raglayim b'kaneh u'b'kaved u'b'lev. Okay, if you say I won't eat meat, according to Tanakami here, it's usher to eat the head, the legs, the kaneh, the windpipe, the liver, the heart, all those parts. Be'asur be'basar ofot, and you can't even eat chicken. It's interesting. Meat includes chicken. Umutar be'basar dagim v'chagavim. But fish and grasshoppers are not included, so you can eat that. Rashbag matir barosh u'b'raglayim b'kaneh u'b'kaved u'b'ofot u'b'dagim u'b'chagavim. So Rashbag basically says the only thing you can't eat is the meat itself. But all these other parts are not considered meat. So here you have it. That must be Tanakama, who says, Hamnoder mina yarak mutar bidluim. V'chein haya Rashbag omer, and another thing Rashbag said, kirbaim lav basarhem, the innards are not considered meat. They're not really, nobody eats them. V'ochlehem lav bar inish. Okay, and any human who eats them is not really human. Okay, this is not anything that anybody really eats. Okay, and therefore they're also not considered part of the meat. Ulitanakama, now, okay, so we keep getting off on tangents. We started with Rabbi Akiva disagrees with some other opinion. That opinion is our Mishnah. Then we said, well, who actually states that opinion? Our Rashbag. In seeing Rashbag, we see that someone disagrees with Rashbag. And what do we see? The Tanakama. Where did Tanakama draw the line? All the parts of the meat are going to be with the meat, even chicken, but fish and grasshoppers are on the outs. So Latanakama, Maishnabe Basar Ofot. In other words, why is Basar Ofot, are we going to say that's considered meat, but Dagim and Chagavim are not? So the assumption is, why is Basar Ofot? Mishum diragil inish ta'amar, because people would likely say, Lo eshkechei bisra dechayuta va'ate bisra ditzipora, right? People will say, I couldn't find meat in this store, I bought chicken instead, right? That's something you could see happening, right? You go to the store to buy meat, they don't have good meat, so you buy chicken instead. But ihachi, if that's what you're going to say, the reason is hachinami avidinish lemeimar lo eshkachai bisra dechayuta va'ate dagim. But theoretically, you could see that you could get to the story. They don't have good meat. You could buy fish instead. In other words, fish, chicken, meat. Theoretically, they're all kind of interchangeable. As much as you know, chicken is not meat, so they're different. Likewise, fish is not meat, but both of them could be interchanged. So, Amara Papa, now we're going to have a weird explanation of this. Biyom hakaza askinan delo achil inish dagim. It must be on a day that he bloodlet this person, and therefore, right, to say that it's dafka on a day like that, right, that this whole thing when he was noder from basar, what he clearly meant was, right, basar and things that he would have theoretically eaten. This is interesting because he's saying, I'm not going to eat them, but he would only be noder for things he theoretically would have eaten. But he wouldn't have eaten fish because he had just done hakazat dam, and that's not healthy. Nobody eats fish on the day that they're making dam. So they say, well, ihachi tsipranami. Well, then tsiporim, birds, chicken, also you shouldn't eat because nami lo necho. Damer Shmuel de mesuchar va'achal tsipra. Someone who did hakazah, some people say it's hakazah in your shoulder, and he ate chicken parach libe ketsifra. Okay, this is like a good play on words. His heart is going to be weak like a tzipor. Okay, if you eat birds, you're going to be weak like birds, meaning your body's going to be weakened. Okay, and therefore, they didn't eat birds either. So again, the fish and the birds should go in the same category. Ve'od. And furthermore, Tanya ein mikizim dan. Lo ala tagim, ve'lo ala ofo, ve'lo ala basar maliach. These are all sorts of things. You wouldn't eat fish, birds, and or chicken, and even salted meat. Those are all things that people don't eat after hakazat dam. So therefore, it's not really clear why we draw the line between chicken and fish. So ela amara papa biyoma dechayvin le einei askinan. It wasn't a day they did hakazat dam, the bloodletting. It was a day that the person's eyes were bothering him, because that is clear delo achil dagim. They had to find some sort of case where fish wasn't, right, and not to the other stuff. Okay. Although it doesn't say anything about chagavim, but I guess once they draw the line at dagim, they're going to kind of cut from there. Okay, even though one could definitely understand this, again, this is a little societal based. Right? You could see in some places it's only meat and chicken and not fish. And in other places, people would easily switch meat, chicken, fish, anything, right, whatever they find. So it could be that also accounts for the difference in the people in the Gemara that were questioning this and couldn't understand the difference. Maybe their society and the things people ate were different than where it was actually written. Because the answer to this, to say that we're specifically talking about a person whose eyes were bothering him and wasn't even thinking about fish, seems very rachok, very not like a very good and very clear answer. Okay, or likely answer, I should say. Okay, last part of the Mishnah that we're going to relate to now. Amar lo ten lo chaticha, the last part of the Mishnah where he said, give them each a piece. The shaliach went and gave them two, and then the people took three. So what did we say? Everybody's moel, the balabayit in the first. The first piece everybody ate, it's his fault. The shaliach for the second piece of meat, and the third piece of meat, the orchim were all responsible, so they're chayav and me'ila. Even if they didn't know. Well, all this that they didn't know. What they didn't know, what?
That it was hektish meat.
Right. Well, nobody knew. It was all shogeg. Okay. No one had any idea that it was hektish meat. Otherwise, it wouldn't be meila. So shma mina mosif al shlichuto havishaliach. We get into another interesting halacha here about shlichut. I said to the shaliach, give them all one piece of meat each. The shaliach went ahead and gave them all two. Now, theoretically, one could say That shaliach is no longer my shaliach because the shaliach didn't do what I said. I said one, the shaliach added two. It sounds like, right, that's a case of shaliach mosif al shlichuto. Theoretically, I could say, what do you mean? You gave them more than I told you to give them. You're not a good shaliach. So according to the Mishnah, it's clear that that person is still my shaliach because they were only mosif. They didn't, you know, they didn't not do what I said. They did what I said. They just added. They're still my shaliach, because if they weren't my shaliach anymore, what would we say? The shaliach's fully responsible for the two. Or maybe the people who took the three are fully responsible for the three, because they didn't even do what the shaliach said. Right? So, therefore, sounds like, mosif ha-shlichuto ha-avi shaliach. So, Amar Rav Sheshet, no. You can't necessarily infer that from here, because what's the case? Again, we had a lot of this today, where we're saying the case isn't exactly the way you thought the case was. Da Amar shaliach tol echat mi da'ato ve'achat mi da'ati. He said to the guest, listen, the owner told me to give you each a piece. I'm giving you one on my, right? My, I'm telling you, I'm adding to him. So basically, the shaliach's being honest in saying, one I'm giving you b'tor shaliach, and one I'm giving you on my own. Okay, so now, if he really did that, then it would be obvious that the Baal HaBayit's mo'el on the one, and the shaliach on the second one, so why would you even need to tell us this? So they say no, because ma'u detema akar shaliach shlichutei to Baal HaBayit v'lo limol kamash malan. In other words, even if that's, it's like an in-between. He was very clear that you're taking the first one because I told, right, because me as the owner had said, take one piece. But he is adding and saying, but I'm giving you an additional piece, and there he's kind of going against what I said. So he's sort of going against me, but he's not going against me entirely because he's not saying as if, he's not telling the people to take meat as if he's being my messenger. He's saying, I'm a messenger for the first. The second, I'm not really a messenger. You might have thought, though, since the second he's kind of going against what I told him, maybe we cancel him out from being a shaliach. And the answer is no, he's still considered a shaliach. But it doesn't necessarily prove anything about a mosif al shlichuto havi shaliach, because in this case, he was very specific and said, I'm giving you this b'tor my shlichut, and this I'm giving independently. But if he had given all of it as one without saying anything, theoretically, it's still an open possibility that maybe mosif al shlichuto is no longer shaliach at all, and then he be chayav in the me'ilah on the two pieces and not the Baal HaBayit. Or maybe then the people would be chayav on all three because they didn't do what the shaliach said and then maybe they're responsible. It's a little tricky there though because they're not really shlichim. So I don't know if you would say the same there. So anyway, it's very interesting halachot about shlichut and when somebody kind of uses their own independent mind, right? It's the whole thing about shlichut is fascinating. That's where the whole thing about ein shlich l'dvar avera comes in. Because it's saying you have to use your own thought in it. And to a certain extent, shaliach is just shlichot shel adam kamoto. You're not supposed to use your own brain and do anything any different. On the other hand, when it comes to doing an avera, we say, what do you mean? You can't not think, right? It's a very interesting issue about how we view shlichut in terms of all sorts of ramifications of it.